Podium Audio presents Brain Damage, written by Freda McFadden, performed by Megan Tusing. Prologue. If someone had asked me before this happened if it would hurt to be shot in the head, I almost certainly would have said yes. Of course, yes. It makes sense. A piece of metal rapidly shooting through flesh and bone. How could it not hurt? During my intern year, I spent time in the emergency room, and I saw people who had been recently shot. None in the head, but one in the shoulder, one through the knee, and one unfortunate bullet ripped its way right through a man's stomach. I didn't need to ask any of those people if the bullet hurt. I could see it in their faces. I wasn't someone who had to worry about being shot, though. The patients I treated in the emergency room weren't upper-middle-class female doctors living in million-dollar apartments overlooking Central Park. They all lived in a poor section of the city, where bullets whizzed through the air as commonly as raindrops. I, on the other hand, was safe, insulated. I wasn't the sort of person who would be shot in the street while going to buy soda at the local newsstand. When I died, it would be from a stroke or cancer. Or if I was lucky, my heart would stop beating one night in my sleep, when my hair was as white as my pillow and my face was crisscrossed with deep wrinkles. Or so I thought. Back to the initial question of whether it hurt to be shot in the head. Because there is a lot I don't remember, but this part I remember very well. I remember staring at the gun, not really believing that it would go off. Not believing that this could happen to me. And then I remember the explosion, seconds before the bullet discharged, passed through my skull, shattering it to pieces, soaring through the gray matter, white matter, neurons, ventricles, then back through my skull again, and finally lodging itself in the well-insulated wall that kept our neighbors from hearing the noise of the gunshot. And none of that hurt. The truth is, I didn't feel it at all. What hurt is everything that came after. 1. Before. There are times when I truly do hate being a doctor. And one of those times is right now, right this minute, while I'm staring down at the groin of a 45-year-old man who smells like he hasn't bathed in weeks. One of our nurses, Jessica, is standing next to me. Assisting me. Although in truth, she's actually here to protect me from getting groped by this half-naked man. It's happened before, and I've gotten sick of it. Yes, the life of a dermatologist is very glamorous. It's a fungal infection, I say, averting my eyes from Mr. Leroy's groin and gratefully redirecting them to his round face. A fungal infection, which Mr. Leroy's primary care doctor should have diagnosed himself. What a waste of my time. I try to back away, giving myself a little distance between me and the fungus, but I slam into a wall. Our examining rooms are tiny, minuscule. Several of my coworkers have complained to Roger, our boss, that we can't work in such tiny spaces. But tiny spaces mean more examining rooms to stuff patients into, which means we can see them faster. It's all about the bottom line with Roger.
That's what Dr. Hansen told me, Mr. Leroy says.
His jaws are working together, like he's chewing something. Did he start eating while I was looking at his groin? Oh, God.
Andy gave me this tube of spermicide for it.
I purse my lips together and glance over at Jessica. He gave you what? I ask.
Some spermicide, Mr. Leroy repeats, still chewing vigorously. And I've been putting the spermicide all over the rash for like a week, but it's not any better. So I figured I should see a skin doctor.
I can tell that Jessica is struggling not to laugh.
You mean fungicide? She asks.
Mr. Leroy shrugs and rubs his chin.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I have no idea whether Dr. Hansen gave Mr. Leroy a cream that wasn't strong enough, or else he actually did give the poor man spermicide. Either way, I know fungus when I see it. The moist skin folds of Mr. Leroy's groin are ripe with it. If I were a fungus,